Very happy to welcome in our next guest. We're talking about Nikita Kucherov, and I know this has been a very, very busy stretch for our next gentleman, but want to say thank you very much to Joe Smith from The Athletic in Tampa for joining us right now, because it's been a busy day in your neck of the woods. Nikita Kucherov, 8 years, $76 million. Joe, appreciate you doing this. Were you expecting this? Was this something that you were waiting for and thought was imminently a possibility?
Not this soon in the summer. I think even like the agent had told me, you know, when the season ended, that they weren't expecting to have talks until, you know, maybe later in the summer. But obviously he's an important franchise type player, and Steve Yzerman made it a point this summer to lock up a lot of his core players. Ryan McDonough, they signed JT Miller to an extension before he became an RFA here. So I don't think it's surprising that they signed him. It's more so that it came this quickly, but I think, like you mentioned earlier in the show, it does give them cost certainty to know that at the end of the day, they'll be able to know what his cost would be down the road.
What about the actual cap hit itself and the overall 8 year, $76 million total for this thing? What do you make of the contract itself?
Well, I mean, I think considering the way the salaries are going, and you see like Tavares get 11 and the Eichels, and obviously McDavid is way up there for a good reason, but nobody else in the league has had more points the last couple of years other than Connor McDavid than Nikita Kucherov. So I think getting under a 10 under that scenario, I don't think it's a bad deal at all. I think it's a good one. And now that they know they have to wait until next summer and figure out how much he's going to cost, and he could wait another 40 goal season and maybe drive that price up even more. Mm-hmm. If he waited another year and had the arbitration hearing. So I think overall, I think the both sides are pretty happy with this one.
Last 2 years, 185 points. Only Connor McDavid has more points over that same 2 year span as Kucherov. Look, the 2 years prior to that, he was a 60 point guy. I think the lowest total that he's had over the last 4 years is 29 goals in a season. But the jump from being a 60 point guy to being an 85 and a 100 point guy, what have we seen as to why Kucherov has broken into this next plateau?
Well, I think it just, as any young player in the league, you have to have some more experience and gain some confidence, and you've seen that from him. He always had kind of that elite score ability, especially the shot, but he's really adapted it and grown his game in terms of not just that, but being a playmaker. You saw that with Steven Stamkos this year, how dynamic they were two together. He is not just a one-trick pony. He's really deceptive in his game, and he also just kind of finds a way to get lost in the offensive zone, which makes him a dangerous player because you can't really predict where he's going to be. So overall, he's just kind of grown and evolved his game, and you're seeing it now. He's been in Clearwater working out 5 days a week starting a couple weeks ago. So he really works at his craft, and that's what's made him the player he is.
We see him once a year live and in person in Calgary, and I know last year a lot of people were excited to see him because of the season he was having. But describe Kucherov as a player a little bit more for those who aren't as aware of what he does. Describe him a little bit more.
Well, he's got a ridiculously good shot. He has a number of different types of wrist shots that he can try to use from his arsenal, and he's really good from that right circle as far as the one-timer goes. He's a really crafty passer where, you know, you find him in different spots in the offensive zone. He could find a way to get other guys open and available. And I think like I mentioned before, what makes him really stand out to me is how well he moves without the puck and how deceptive he is and finds soft spots in those coverage areas that you watched that in the playoffs this year when he was going really well. Like in the Devil series, he was doing that. So a really very smart, good hockey sense for him. And that's really kind of, you know, been how he's adapted and grown his game to be, you know, one of the best pure scorers there is in the league right now.
What about him as a guy? Tell us a little bit more about Kucherov off the ice and how he is to interact with, how he interacts with his teammates. Your observations of Kucherov the person as opposed to the player.
Well, he could be kind of hard guy to crack. I mean, especially media wise as far as the interviews. But when he gets to open up a little bit, like I just got a chance to do with him in the playoffs, he can be engaging and kind of sneaky funny, and he's obviously very passionate about his craft, and he loves talking hockey, like a hockey junkie, so to speak. But as far as like the teammates, they really like him in the locker room, and he's a guy who's like really funny off the ice. For these people who know him best, you're the people that he, you know, in his inner circle and in that respect. So he's been married a couple of years now. He's got a young puppy that he absolutely adores, so he has a little other interest outside the game, but But yeah, I think if you're a guy who knows him really well or a teammate, might have a better idea how to kind of capture what he's like off the ice than maybe some reporters who try to get him to give a crafty answer sometimes in interviews.
Joe Smith is with us from The Athletic in Tampa, joining us on the Great Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline. Tampa signs Nikita Kucherov to an 8-year, $76 million contract today. I know Steve Yzerman addressed it on the conference call today. He says nothing is imminent, and any reports about us being imminently ready to land Erik Karlsson from the Ottawa Senators, those reports are false. But what do you understand, and where are the Lightning right now in conversations with the Senators on Karlsson?
Well, I think, like you mentioned, that it's not close and it's never really been close, even though there were some reports last week. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he does find a way to land there, but I just don't think there's a lot. It's a very complicated deal when it comes to the Lightning because they don't have a lot of cap space this year and going forward. They have to make a bunch of moves or maybe get a third team involved to be part of that. So, I get a sense that they have been talking to Otto about it. Other teams like Dallas and has been involved. I think Vegas was early on. So it's far from a done deal or guaranteed that it'll happen, but I think the Lightning certainly had interest both before the trade deadline and this offseason to go for it. And I just, from what it sounds like, it seems like Karlsson really likes it in Tampa. He's one of his best friends is Victor Hedman, and I know he enjoyed the experience at the All-Star game in Tampa a few months back. So these kind of deals are so hard to figure out and hard to complete in the salary cap world, and you don't know if he wants to sign an extension and where he wants to sign an extension or not going forward. So, like I said, I don't think it's anything's close, and it wasn't last week, but all it could change is one phone call, so we'll find out.
What would you, and I know that this is guesswork more than anything else, but what would you guess, what would you suggest would be the type of package that Tampa would be looking to send to Ottawa to try and land a guy like Karlsson?
Well, I think Ottawa's an ask for the moon. They have to. If you don't get a chance, you only get one chance to trade a franchise player like that. So you're going to want a top-end prospect, like a guy like probably like Mikhail Sergachev, who's their top defense prospect. You can grow into a top four, top two caliber defenseman, maybe another first-round pick and some prospects, and that's maybe a roster player that has been, I don't know if Tyler Johnson's of interest to them or not, but somebody like that. So it'll take a multiple player deal. It'll take multiple players for Lightning to move some salary too to make some room for a guy like that. So it's hard to know what their asking price is, not knowing what their plans are, but it'll take certainly a sizable package and one that they don't feel pressure to do it now. They need to get it done, but they get the best deal possible for their team and their fans.
Knowing the potential is there for Tampa to land Karlsson in the trade, have you thought about what it might look like adding a two-time Norris Trophy winner to a group that also includes McDonough and Hedman and maybe Sergachev? Like, have you thought about the possibilities of Karlsson joining the Tampa blue line?
Well, I mean, of course, I think a lot of people have thought about it. I know the Lightning fans have been clamoring for it ever since kind of Lightning were part of the conversation. And to have, Victor Hedman and Karlsson in the same pairing together, I'm sure would be thrilling for most fans or people to watch the game of hockey to see those two guys play half the game together. It was a really formidable blue line with Ryan McDonough, who could play a top pairing minutes too. So, it's a lot to go to get that point, but it would certainly be fun to watch. That's for sure.
Just a couple more with Joe Smith from The Athletic Tampa as the Lightning signed Nikita Kucherov to an 8-year contract extension today, $76 million and a $9.5 million average annual value. We talk about potentially having to move people out. If Tampa does not land Karlsson, if they do not get him in a trade, does Tampa need to move out salary? Do they need to make room going forward with this Kucherov contract in the fold?
Not necessarily right now. They still have about $4 million of cap space going into this season. And next season you have a bunch of guys that are coming off the books, whether it's Strahlman's $4.5 million or Coburn's $3.7 or Girardi's $3 million. That gives you some more room for the raises that Kucherov and his deal kicks in next year. And you might need to, in the next coming years, have to move some salary because guys' raises are kicking in and you have to re-sign Braden Point and Andrei Vasilevskiy in a couple of years as well. But for right now, they're not in a crunch situation as far as with the cap going into October 1st, as long as they don't acquire another player like Erik Karlsson.
And if they were, that's where a guy like Tyler Johnson or Andre Palat, those are the type of players that Yzerman would probably need to move out, right?
Or you trade Braden Coburn, for example. I mean, I think Johnson might be a guy only because they have Braden Point now as a number two center. So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple different guys. They haven't been asked to move, use their no trade clause yet, but we'll see how that goes going forward.
Tell us about Braden Point and, you know, not necessarily what that contract looks like and what that negotiation looks like, but what has he grown into as a player with the Lightning?
He's been one of the best players in the, on the team, I think. I mean, he's going into a star player, an all-star for the first time this year, 200-foot player. He could play in both ends. He's just been tremendous. He's a very smart hockey player. He's a tremendous skater and one of the more well-rounded players on this hockey team. So he's a guy you'll definitely want to see locked up for a long term.
Joe, appreciate the time. I know it's been a busy day for you. Thank you for spending 10 minutes with us this afternoon, and we will let you get back to your day. Thank you so much for giving us some time this afternoon.
No problem. Take care.